And now I have one more verse to speak on briefly. And for this second discourse, I want to concentrate on verse 16. You can see how the apostle goes on, though, in verse 15. He says, neither circumcision, none of that counts. You can see what he's saying. It's all Christ, you see. And then he comes to this. In verse 15, he has said, what really matters is being a new creation. What really matters is that you are born again. You've been made over anew. And you've had your eyes open to Christ. And then he does come to the close of his letter. He says this. I'll read it in the version I have. You can see it in your own. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule. As many as walk according to this rule. Peace on them and mercy. Same thing. And then it goes on, and upon the Israel of God. Okay? I don't know how those words strike you, but I'm telling you, that is the climax of this letter. And I'm bringing these discourses on Galatians and these 6 months, whatever it is with you, to close with this text. May God bless us with this word. May he speak. There is power in this word here. May God show his power even in the next few minutes. This verse starts easily enough. You can see what he is saying. I address all of you who walk according to the same rule. What does he mean? All of you who take the same line as I do. Do you agree with me that there is salvation in no other but the Lord Jesus? Is all your hope fixed upon Christ? Do you realize it's not what you can do? It's not what you can attempt? It's not what you can try? It's all Christ. Are you with me on that? He says, well, if so, peace and mercy. Two of the loveliest words in the Bible. Two of the loveliest words in human experience. Go to Aleppo this morning and start talking about peace and mercy. They won't be interested. Won't be interested. They're crying for it. Go to Sobibor. Do you know what Sobibor was? That prisoner of war camp, death camp in eastern Poland, where Jews were exterminated by the 250,000. Ask the Jews there, would you like peace and mercy instead of whip and gas chamber and furnace? Where does it all come from, my friend? This is sin in the world, my friend, and sin brings anything but peace and anything but mercy. Go to Islam if you want peace and mercy and see if you can find it. I defy you. It may not be politically correct to say these things, but I'll stand by it. If you want peace and mercy, there is only one way to find it, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And peace and mercy from God. I'll tell you now. I mean, some of you know I don't keep Christmas, but I got no axe to grind here in saying this. I'll tell you this now. It's my experience that in this joyful time of the year, there is more loneliness, more misery, more wretchedness in the world than anybody will own up to. There is more heartache. You know, and Christmas gives way to January and February, and the bills start coming in. And that's only one small thing. But Paul says, my brothers and sisters, you who have been taking this line with me, you who agree with me, you who fixed all your hope upon Jesus, peace and mercy to you. That's going to be a lovely word when I come to die, my friend. I tell you it will. I'm not joking about it. I'm 77 nearly. It won't be long. And it won't be long for you either, even if you're 25. It won't be long. It's coming. And you will want peace and mercy on that day, my friend. And when you stand before Christ in the last day, you'll want peace and mercy then. But if you do want it, look to Jesus now. That's the only way. I'll wait 10 years. How do you know you've got 10 years? Who told you that? Oh, that's dramatic. My friend, it's not dramatic, it's the truth. I'm booked to come here tonight. Will I be here? I hope so. Will you? Will I come in? Oh, yeah. Well, are you? Peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Paul is not raising a new subject here. This is the last line of the letter. He's not going to start a new subject here. You see, it looks as though he's saying, peace upon all those who have the same line as I do, who look to Jesus as I've spoken. Yeah, they glory in Christ. Now, peace and mercy upon them and upon these people over here. Now, they don't look to Jesus. He must mean that because these people did look to Jesus. They followed the rule. But these people don't follow the rule. So they're not looking to Jesus. So he's saying peace and mercy to them too. Hey, I don't follow that. Perhaps you can explain it afterwards. My friend, there is no peace to the wicked. There is no peace outside of the Lord Jesus. There is no mercy outside of him. So whatever the Israel of God must be, it can't be a new camp of people that is not saved. It can't be a new group of people that aren't trusting Jesus. He means the Jews. No, he doesn't. He does not mean the Jews. He's not been talking about the Jews in this letter all the way through. He's not going to bring up a new subject now. He deals with the Jews in Romans 9, 10, and 11. If you want to see what he thinks about the Jews, you can read Romans 9, 10, and 11. But he's not dealing with the Jews here. It won't be obvious to you, but the Israel of God is a very strange phrase. Can you tell me any other place in the Bible where you can find it? Well, I'm not surprised there's silence because it's not in the Bible. There's nowhere else in the Bible. This is unique. In fact, I'm not an expert on this, but I understand that it would be very, very difficult to put that kind of phrase into Hebrew. So you couldn't get it in the Old Testament. It's not an Old Testament phrase anyway. It's a New Testament phrase. And what is more, it's a New Covenant phrase. This is what Paul is talking about. What's the answer? What am I saying? When we were on chapter 6, verse 2, was it a fortnight ago, 2 weeks ago, I must have said something about Paul's love of wordplay. Paul loves wordplay. He loves picking up phrases and words and making something click in our minds. You see, when he said in chapter 6 and verse 2, in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ, this is a remarkable phrase. I would have said it at the time. It is a most remarkable. It's an earth-shattering phrase, actually. Because, you see, what he's been saying throughout this letter is, we're not under law. We're under Christ. And yet, at the very end, he says, I'll sum it all up by talking about the law of Christ. This is the most remarkable phrase. In fact, he's coined it. It doesn't actually appear anywhere else, strictly speaking. It appears very close in 1 Corinthians 9, but it doesn't appear actually anywhere else in the Bible. What is Paul doing? He's saying that when we're in Christ, we're under his law. We're under his headship. Those of you with me in Romans 7 in the evening, you know that we are married to Christ. We're under his headship. Now he describes those who are in Christ. He describes those who are following the same rule. He describes those who are true believers. And he uses a remarkable phrase. He calls all true believers the Israel of God. But you say, well, he uses the word and. Ah, the Greek word is kai. You'll have to take my word for it if you don't know your Greek, but the word is kai. But you can look up any lexicon and you'll see what I'm saying is not pulling the wool over your eyes. The word kai in Greek, K-A-I, can mean and. It nearly always, very often means and, yes. But it has another meaning too. And it's the word even. There's plenty of scriptures where kai is translated even. And my version actually translates it as even. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule. Even to. You see, he's now putting a title. He's now describing us who are believers. And he calls us by this remarkable phrase. We are the Israel of God. What do you mean, Paul? Well, he says, I mean this. I mean the same as the Apostle Peter. Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2. We are a holy nation. Who? We. We the believers. We are a holy nation. We are a special people, a people belonging to God. We are a royal house, he says. We are priests and kings unto Christ. Read 1 Peter chapter 2 and you'll see. When he writes to the Philippians chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, we are the circumcision. We are the true Jews. Who? Who worship God in the Spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Echoes of this passage. He says it to the Romans, chapter 2, verse 28. He is a Jew, not who's out one outwardly, whose circumcision is that of the body, the flesh, but he is one who is a Jew inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart. I've had heart surgery. Did you know that? I've been born again. That's what it means. I've been born again. I've been given a new heart. Not literally. Better than that. According to Christ's promise, he has so come upon me by his Spirit that he has changed my will, he has changed my mind, he has changed my heart, and he's given me a love for Christ, a desire for Christ. I once couldn't care less about him. Just like you if you're an unbeliever. But there came a day when I could not resist anymore. When the light went on. And he gave me a new heart. And I didn't know it then, but I'm preaching it to you now. He took me out of the world and he brought me into the Israel of God. Now, this is a most precious thought, but it is a most solemn thought. You see, my friend, sitting there before me this morning, you're either a member of the Israel of God or you are not. If you are a member of the Israel of God, that means you have been regenerated, born again by God's Spirit. It means you've been brought to repentance and faith, and you have seen in the Lord Jesus all the glory of salvation for you. And you have trusted him. That's what he's saying in verse 14, and that's what he's saying here in verse 16. You either belong to the Israel of God, or who do you belong to? Well, I will tell you. Ephesians chapter 2 will tell you. You are without hope and without God in the world. You are a stranger to the commonwealth of Israel. You are cut off from God. I'm not making that up. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 or something. If you do not belong to Christ, you belong to Satan. Laugh at it if you will. Dismiss it if you will. But I'm telling you the truth. If you are not belonging to Christ and a member of the Israel of God, you're far off, removed from all hope, without God. Without God. And go into a godless eternity. If you are a member of the Israel of God, you're under the law of Christ, chapter 6, verse 2. If you If you are not a member of the Israel of God, you're outside. And under what law are you? I will tell you from Romans chapter 8. You are under the law of sin and death. Will you take that home to Sunday lunch? Will you say it to yourself, my friend? I am outside of the people of God. I don't belong. Oh, I'm sitting in chapel. I'm a member at Auchinbury. But you've never been born again? My friend, you can be a Presbyterian, a Baptist, whatever you want to be. You can be the Pope himself. But unless you know Jesus Christ, you're outside. And that's an awful place to be. One of the most precious things that ever happened in my life was when my third child, my second daughter, gave her testimony to me. And she's told me since. She used to be in chapel, of course, and I was preaching. But her brother had been baptized. He had professed faith, and he'd been baptized by now. And she said this, I knew when you were preaching, listen to it, I knew when you were preaching, I did not belong. She was my daughter. She was my wife's daughter. Yes, he belonged. She was her brother and sister. Yes, he belonged. But she did not belong to us because she did not belong to Christ. And she felt it. She felt outside. I haven't come here to glory in rubbing salt in anybody's wounds. But I tell you, my friend, you are outside. But you needn't stay outside any longer. The door of God's mercy stands open. Wide, wide open. The invitations of the gospel are full and free, with no limits whatsoever to you. Come into the Israel of God. What do you mean? Come into Jesus. Come under his rule and governorship. Trust him. Look to him. Don't be outside any longer. Do you remember in Israel, in the cities of refuge, remember when a man killed another accidentally? The law in Israel was the relations could take vengeance. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for life. But there was a way. God provided in the Old Covenant a shadowy picture. He provided a way of escape. He provided six towns of refuge, six cities, three on one side of the Jordan, three on the other. And if a man who had accidentally killed another could get to the city of refuge before the manslayer got to him, he was saved until there could be a proper trial. There couldn't be a summary lynch mob. It was no good for the man who had committed the crime, if it was a crime, who made the terrible mistake. There was no good for that man to say, I know down the road there's a city of refuge. I know that. That didn't save him. It was no good going there and having a look at it. Oh, there he is. I can see it. That's no good, my friend. It's no good touching the gate. The avenger can still get him. The only way he could be delivered was inside. Get inside. Don't stay outside. My friend, I've met many in my time, I think, are so near to the kingdom. They're associated with believers, that they're sitting among believers, that they're talking like believers, but they've never actually come to Christ. Is there one sitting here this morning? I haven't a clue. I don't know. But God knows and you know. If it's not been true, my friend, if you've never come, come now. And if it's the first time you've ever sat in a church, you've ever heard the gospel, I don't know enough. You do know enough. You are a sinner of Christ. Die for sinners. Come to him. You're not saved by knowing. You're saved by trusting. It's not a question of intelligence. It's a question of faith. Will you believe? Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with your spirit. and my brothers and sisters and my friends here who are unconverted friends. I've been laboring here these 6 months, and I'd wish nothing for you but the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and your everlasting salvation in him. I think it's right on this last occasion to make this point to you. You will never hear my voice again, some of you. I know that. But we shall meet again, you know, at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I take the prophet Ezekiel very seriously. And therefore, I feel justified in what I'm now saying. I call you to witness this day that when we meet again at the judgment seat, if you are not trusting Christ, if you have not rested your soul in him, will you, I'm asking you, will you be able to point the finger to me and say, you never told me? You never told me. I call you to witness, my friend. I have told you. I have pleaded with you. I have argued with you. I have reasoned with you. I've tried to put all the passion I can into this because it's so serious. Eternal issues hang upon it. I call you to witness that I have told you. And therefore, my friend, you will not be able to accuse me. Your blood will not be upon my head. I don't say that in any bragging way, but I do say it with relief. If I have failed, my friend, forgive me. Forgive me. But with all the love I can muster toward you now, I plead with you, if you have never trusted Christ, do so now. Come into Jesus. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life for a look for thee. So look, look, look and live. And may the great day declare that this preaching was not in vain, that the apostles' words were not in vain, that we shall all glory in the cross of Christ and belong to the true Israel of God. And we'll all meet together in everlasting glory and praise the name of our Lord Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, for their everlasting salvation and all the joy that is ours. Let us pray. O God, we pray that you'll receive our thanks for your word, for the Lord Jesus Christ displayed in your gospel. And we pray that he, being lifted up, will draw all men unto himself, draw every one of us here, everyone who's seen it on the video, everyone who hears the audio, whoever it might be. O God, draw us all to a living faith in the Lord Jesus, to belong to the people of God. And may we everlastingly be together in eternal glory. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.